Radical ones, today on the show we're celebrating 35 years of Beetlejuice, the 1989 classic film starring Michael Keaton, Gina Davis, Winona Ryder, and Alec Baldwin.
I myself am strange and unusual.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there. It's showtime.
What is this, trick or treat?
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey, get down.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes, beat me.
My name is Grace Jones.
Power three will set us free.
But I ain't one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard it from me. No, you have.
No more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Though I should be weary, still I venture someplace scary. Ghostly hauntings, I turn loose. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice! Beetlejuice.
That was delightful, David. Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother, David, who you just heard.
I'm not going to say the name three times because they say bad things come in threes. First of all, in the midst of you moving, we've had some scheduling issues between, because we actually wanted to do this as a threesome. Well,
yes,
you know,
we did.
I mean. Anyway, PG. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. And I know that you had to switch around our Thundercats because this month had 5 weeks in it, right?
Yeah, it was a busy month.
It's been a lot of chaos, so we just wanted to make sure we were producing something quality for you. And what I just said earlier is from the actual Beetlejuice cartoon that came out after the movie, but it always has a special place in my heart, so I just figured I would throw it out there.
Oh, that cartoon is amazing as well, and I definitely want to get into that. Yes, Rob was actually, going to be a part of this originally. For some reason, this episode did not want to work out with scheduling. I mean, David is, full-time father, and now with the midst of this move with our parents, myself.
And I'm really sick, to be honest with you. I'm feeling under the weather, so it's also something that's contributing to this. So
we got together in an odd time to try to bring this because we have to get this episode for this week. But actually,
and because I can't sleep because I'm sick, I have the man flu or the man cold or whatever they call it.
No, you're usually really good with that. This is,
well, yeah.
You always pull through it. But thanks, Rob. I'm gonna try to include you. Maybe you can have your opinion on Beetlejuice because I really know you love it as well. Actually, what's funny about this, David, is the switch in the timing. Because the Thundercats always being the last Friday, I just had it as that, until the swap. But the movie came out March 30th of 1988, and this episode, God willing, I'm going to edit it in time, is coming out Friday the 31st, so it's the day after the actual 35th anniversary. So that kind of worked out in a nice way.
And if you had a midnight showing, you'd be in the 31st, so that's what I'm going for.
Well, that's true, actually, because our episodes do drop at midnight on
Thursday. So if you're in a late night double feature picture show,
I want to go
in the back row.
Oh my god, we're delirious, I think, actually.
Yeah, so. We're recording this at a pretty crazy hour, so we'll not even I don't know if it's the morning or the night. Remember that Calvin Klein commercial used to say, I don't know if you're touching me or am I touching you. Calvin Klein. I don't know what time it is, what day it is, what time zone I'm in currently, but we're going to put out something good for you. You're going to like it. I guarantee it.
Am I touching you or me? That's pretty bad. If you don't
know. I don't
know
where you start and I begin. Obsession.
Ooh.
Calvin Klein.
Before we actually started this on Instagram, which I hope you're following us, Radical Ones and new listeners, because that is always updated. That's where we're usually at for, you know, up-to-date stuff for Radical Retro. We had asked if anyone had any Beetlejuice memories they wanted to share. And one of our bunglers from our Thundercats reviews, Zach, he actually says that it was more based on the cartoon than the movie, but does anyone remember the early 90s PC game? They did make an NES game for Beetlejuice the movie, but a lot of the other games were from the cartoon, which honestly, I kind of do, like you were saying, love it. I kind of do put them on the same level. I don't know. I like Beetlejuice as this, and I like Beetlejuice as the friendly, you know, like still mischievous ghost, but friendly and like Lydia's friend. So I don't remember that personally, but I would have loved it, Zach.
Yeah, that, I mean, even if it was like the Friday the 13th
which, video thing. Oh my god, that could be a whole other topic, honestly.
Adam and Barbara are recently deceased. They were happy to haunt in peace until the new residents moved in. To rid themselves of these pesky pests, they call on the ghost world's leading bioexorcist.
It's showtime. Attention, Kmart shoppers. I'm back. You want somebody out of the house? I want to get somebody out here. But no one out. For good.
You two have really screwed up.
I want Beetlejuice out of the picture.
You guys really are dead.
Nightshade's promise. Spirits. Drive. To the living. Let now the dead.
Shall we?
Come alive.
Is why I won't do two shows a night anymore, babe. I won't.
This is 35 years, and just in time, David, we have news of the... I mean, this is long, long, long. This has been happening, supposedly, since the 90s itself, but a sequel, still. And honestly, I think this is happening because they're saying that it's Jenna Ortega, who is the hugest thing right now, from Wednesday on Netflix, the new Scream. She is just blowing up everything, and they're kind of saying that she's probably going to be Lydia's daughter in this. So I'm thinking, honestly, because of that success of her in Wednesday as Wednesday Addams, this actually might get made.
I hope it does. And honestly, you have to look at it this way. Catherine O'Hara is still riding high on Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
They're actually talking about maybe doing some more with that. I don't know if it would be a movie or something. So Catherine O'Hara, definitely, if she's a part of it, that would be phenomenal. She's amazing. I love her.
She did want to be part of it still, I heard. So.
And they should not, and they better not do her dirty. So Catherine O'Hara, and hello, Winona Ryder, Miss Stranger Things.
That's the thing. Now she actually plays the mother, David. This is perfect.
This would be perfect. And, you know, I have this horrible joke, and it's funny because I saw Michael Keaton, right? On, you know when they do the mean tweets thing, when they make the celebrities read the mean tweets? And yes, someone basically, I'm going to ad lib it, but somebody basically said, someone told me I smile like Michael Keaton, and I wasn't sure if I should be happy or offended. And I just put, and please do not be mad at me, but he can definitely play this again because he's older and maybe a little crusty for real.
Yo, you're right. And this would be perfect because Beetlejuice would be older and a corpse rots. Although he is a ghost, but, you know, in that grotesque kind of thing.
I mean, the bottom line is, with the amount of makeup they can put on his face, it's like almost like
when you
see Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy is never the same. His pizza face is never the same. So I think this is perfect. I mean, he's still got it in him. I wonder if he's still as physical,
passionate.
The physicality.
But Michael Keaton is now playing Batman again in that Flash movie. Like, he's playing like the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman, like as an old man now, and he's still in action. I say old man in parentheses. I don't know how old he is.
No, and I went up being ages because I'm older too. This is not to be...
It's perfect because I think he could still do it, especially especially if he's doing stuff as Batman.
I think so. But how would they work Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis?
Well, let's bring it up now since we're talking about the sequel. So the original sequel, David, didn't include them. They had a line about, though, that they, the Dietzes, because the Dietzes were involved again, were used to live in a haunted house with a couple. So they're just implied, I guess, that they stayed in the house. But I kind of did love that they kind of had the surrogate daughter with Lydia, and her, she got the parents in that kind of way.
Do you think they would make Alec Baldwin say, "You little pig!
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig." Okay.
But you know what my problem is? I think he is absolutely so handsome in this movie, especially, but I cannot get past the fact that I've always thought Alec Baldwin was a terrible human being. I gotta say, though, like, that's what I thought actually in my head. I actually thought of the little pig comment. That's a retro topic now.
And he recently killed somebody, too, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, and besides...
That was like a la The Crow style, God, which...
That was something.
That was horrible.
They weren't involved. But get this, what would you have thought of this plot? And David, this was getting made, by the way. The only reason I'm, from what I got, was is because Batman Returns came up. But this was going to be filmed with the cast of the original movie, minus, you know, Gina Davis and Alex. So Tim thought it would be funny to match the surfing backdrop of a beach movie with some sort of German expressionism. You know I said that wrong, because they're totally wrong together. Speaking of that, the story follows the Dietz family moving to Hawaii, where Charles is developing a resort. They soon discover that his company building is on a burial ground of an ancient Hawaiian kuhana. And please forgive me, radical ones.
It ain't Moana.
No. The spirit comes back from the afterlife to cause trouble, and Beetlejuice becomes a hero by winning a surf contest with magic. Keaton and Ryder agree to do the film, and the condition was that Burt directed, and then he and Keaton became distracted with Batman Returns. But this is the general plot. Let me tell you, it involves Beetlejuice becoming a somebody else, and Lydia falling in love with these Hawaiian tribesmen, and she was going to get powers to control the water and things like that, and make a tsunami come and things. So this was going to be like crazy. But
what can I say? But you're welcome. You're welcome. Were they going to get The Rock? No.
But there was going to be surfing.
I'm going to be honest with you. You know, like they say, in every generation, a slayer is born. Apparently, in every generation, a horrible movie plot that is a sequel is created. No, I don't. I mean, I would totally watch it just because of the nostalgia of it. And it may turn out well. You know, at first, I forgot when I was watching Beetlejuice with my husband that it was a Tim Burton film.
Really?
Which is so weird to me. But probably because Helena, Christian Bonham, Carter, Smith, Jackson Jones, who I love, actually. So I'm just being funny.
What did I call her in our news episode? Helen Bottoms. Helen Bottoms Carter. So that's her, and Johnny Depp, and the regulars. Yeah,
honestly, I don't know. So let me put this, because we really are going off. We're jumping the shark here, with no pun intended, because they're at the beach.
That was the canceled, thankfully, but I hope it doesn't get that.
Back on track with the movie itself. I don't know if they redid another Beetlejuice where it was just took place a spooky girl that can see dead people, lives in an old house that people died from, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that would sell it, because I could see them trying to do a Beetlejuice remake where he's actually evil. Because, you know, they have to make, like, you know, even with Freddy Krueger, they had to make an Uber Freddy when they did the failed reboot.
We don't speak her name. That was horrible.
I liked the chemistry that they had, and I would want to see Catherine O'Hara back in it, because she's...
Well, now she... I think she has to be, because of her popularity.
She's freaking... Well, she has to say yes to it, too.
When this article was released, she said that she was still wanting to be part of it, so...
Would you be okay with watching it if it's happened in a house that, you know, like, the whole formula over again? I would love to see Catherine O'Hara reprise her role along with, what is it, Jeffrey Jones?
Yes, Yes.
However, there is stuff that has come to light about his character, not yes. his character in the movie, but his personal character, that I would not be happy to see associated with the franchise, per se. But I would be okay with them being hip grandparents, so to speak, that are still...
Well, maybe great. Charles died, though. Charles could die if that was the case, you know.
And he could come back as a Beetlejuice. Anyway,
you get a Beetlejuice and you get a Beetlejuice.
Before we actually start talking about the movie, which is what people are actually trying to listen to when they go to this podcast today, is the fact that this year I saw a lots and lots and lots of Beetlejuice Halloween decor in my local Home Depots.
Yes!
The sandworm was like in full effect. So I'm wondering if that's
the sandworms were coming.
Is that foreshadowing what's to come?
Well, honestly, that's actually another thing I was going to bring up at some point. So this is just coming organically. 35 years later, this character David had one movie and a cartoon series. Beetlejuice items, like you just perfectly said, you got that. But also, he was at Universal. I think he probably is still at Universal, but during the 80s and 90s, it was Beetlejuice Halloween. Like, he was always on things like that. This character has remained. So it's so strange because on paper, this movie is a strange movie, right? It's like a...
Is this movie just a cult classic, or did it actually do well in the movie theater?
Yes, it was a financial success. It recouped its $15 million budget and was the 10th highest grossing film of 1988. And also, critics met with mostly positive reviews. Oh, is our favorites involved? Siskel and Ebert, who we always bring up. No, I don't see them.
I wonder if they're doing reviews where they are right now.
Oh, here, David. Yes. Robert Ebert gave the film 2 out of 4 stars, writing that he would have been more interested if the screenplay had preserved Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis's sweet romanticism and cut back on the slapstick. Okay, I gotta say, they have a great charm in this movie, so I could say that, but...
But I don't understand what he's saying, because... Yeah, there's some slapstick stuff in it, but they still remained loving towards each other, and there was still this romantic, even when at the very end of the movie.
Right, everything. Right.
I don't know what he's... Shut up. Just shut up.
I just gasped on air and choked on it.
A little of this guy goes a long, long way, and the back half of this movie is absolutely stuffed with his antics.
Can you be scary?
What do you think of this? You like it?
There's plenty more of Beetlejuice in this movie. The film was directed by Tim Burton, the same man who directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and you can't fault the inventive art direction or ambition in either film. But in Beetlejuice, it's just too much of a not very good thing. I really felt the Michael Keaton character detracted from a rather nice couple played by Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin. And so the very thing that I thought I would enjoy the most, the Ghostbuster, if you will, was the thing that I enjoyed the least.
You know, I'm with you on this one. And frankly, I walked into this movie knowing nothing about it. I didn't know it was going to be a Ghostbusters clone.
Right.
And I liked that relationship between Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin. I thought it was going to be a goofy, silly comedy about this young married couple trying to fix up this crummy house. Maybe kind of a money pit or something. I don't know what I was expecting. Then when all the supernatural stuff hit, I agreed with you. I was sitting looking at the set decorations and saying, gee, that's terrific, the special effects. Boy, they're well done, but so what? Because there's no comic energy behind it. And Beetlejuice is absolutely, I mean, you use the word obnoxious. That's what it is. It's not funny. It's just, there's that guy again. Let's get rid of him. Not what I expect to think about Michael Keaton.
No, if this were a comedy act, which is really what it is for about 40 minutes, you would walk out after 10 and say, who needs this? It's not funny.
So it's a cult classic, but I mean, since childhood, which is so funny, David, because this movie horrified me after, especially, I remember I could not stand the corpses coming back in the bride and groom scene.
Oh, but the effect was so cool considering the
oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, but it scared the crap. That's when I got, when they shriveled up, it always haunted me. But I loved this, and the cartoon, you know what we loved. And David used to torment me with...
Lydia lied to her parents. She lied.
The skeleton in her closet that she had.
Those skeletons are telling on you, Beetlejuice.
Lydia lied to her parents.
Whoa! That one was yours, babes. And it's gonna tell on you. You see, in the nether world, every time you tell a lie, you get a skeleton in your closet.
Lydia lied to her parents.
So clearly we love this movie. We love this movie. So let's get into the parts that you loved about it. And your favorite part, I'm just going to put it out there. It has to be that glove around her head. Catherine's head. That glove that she just wrapped. It's just like a black glove.
Are we actually going to do this today, this podcast, as people have already watched this movie? Or are we actually trying to tell them the plot and everything?
I don't know. We go back and forth on this show doing this thing. In the words of Rob, we're assuming that you've seen this movie already.
The plot. The plot is what I say is the perfect vanilla couple, but they're very happy. They end up passing away.
In Connecticut. Barbara and Adam.
And many years later, the house is sold by Jane. And I called her the realtor biatch, because they were living in this house alive when they were alive. And Jane was like, this house is too big. You should have children. And it implies that Gina Davis's character could not get pregnant. That's, or it was a sore subject. And that was really pissed me off a little bit, because let them live their lives.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
I'm glad I caught you. Heard you're on vacation.
That's right, Jane. Complete vacation.
Honey, today I'm $260,000.
No, Jane. It's 6:45 in the morning.
This offer is real. From a man in New York City who only saw a photograph.
Jane, don't send people photos of our house.
He wants to bring the wife and family up here for some peace. Quiet.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
But Barbara, this house is too big for you. It really ought to be for a couple with a family, you know? Oh, Pumpkin, I didn't mean anything. It's just that, really, this house
Jane,
is too big.
I'll see you in a few weeks, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Think about it.
Take care.
So anyway, it's a vanilla couple. They end up passing away. A very long time passes, because in the world of afterlife and death, time runs differently. And you see where the Dietzes are moving in, and their mom, you know, Catherine O'Hara.
Just this is Delia Dietz.
Delia Dietz has a very strong personality. She's a failed sculptress / artist / but she has very big ideas about what they're going to do to this house. And then, much to the surprise and the shock to the deceased who live in the house, and they cannot escape the house, she basically wants to destroy everything that they took to get them where they were. And they have a daughter, Lydia, who is very strange and unusual. She says, I myself am strange and unusual, to the deceased couple.
I myself am strange and unusual.
So let's go to some things, because I really have just a bunch of bullet points.
That's what I have too, David. So the couple in this movie, this is Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, like we said, Barbara and Adam, so lovable. I think they had fantastic chemistry. It's so sad the way that they die, David, and the fact that it's on the way back from this run that they did in this charming Connecticut town, by the way. There's something I think that Tim Burton really loves, is that, I would say, 50s throwback kind of thing. Like, he does this a lot, even like in Edward Scissorhands, these like ideal neighborhoods, like, you know, like a throwback. Yeah, it feels like
either perfect Norman Rockwell or like Stepford Wives, or like very very compartmentalized, what appears to people, what people think, or what is sold to them as perfection. Meanwhile, they don't realize it's all cookie cutter and the same stuff. I think that's what he likes to do. I think he likes to turn people on their heads. Like, he wants to switch it up. He wants people to see this perfect Norman Rockwell setup and then flip it. So I mean, I love Tim Burton in many ways, like a lot of his films. So, I mean, he's got my vote as far as...
But he definitely has a style. The funny thing about this is it is a success, and it is a cult classic. By the way, they have a Broadway show that has done phenomenal. I think it was a hit on its own. All I hear is this has taken over.
Can I just tell you a side note? You know how people say that we're in, like, we're either in the Matrix or is the Mandela effect? So let me tell you something. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, it must have been last year, when I flew back to New York to visit you guys. I got off the plane, and the first thing I saw was, one, the musical Beetlejuice, like, plastered everywhere in JFK. And then on top of that, I saw Love and the Iron Man movie, Love and, oh my God, people are going to shoot me for not knowing the name of the movie. It's Love and Rock or whatever. What is it called?
Oh, Love and Thunder.
Can I just tell you that I literally literally, maybe it was just traveling with my kids. Maybe it was because I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or maybe I was just like, what? I really thought that there was some kind of Mandela effect, because I could not comprehend that Thor was now Jane, was Thor, and that's, oh, and I was like, what is going on here? And then I see Beetlejuice the musical, and I'm like, I know they turn everything into musicals. Like, I know there was even a Silence of the Lambs off-Broadway musical, but I was like, it took me a second, because I looked, and it was a long flight. I was like, where am I? Should I be looking at like a box of Fruit Loops to see if it actually says, instead of Fruit Loops, Fruit Roots or something, and it's instead of toucan, it's something else. I was like freaked out for a good moment. I'm just going to say, I don't know if it sounds weird to any of our listeners, but at first, sleep deprivation is my big thing, apparently. And just getting off the plane, I was like, this is not right. How is she Thor? I said, this is a comedy. I said, how can Thor be a comedy?
Oh, because it does. Yeah. I'm so glad I brought up the musical just to hear that. I think I have to make a clip of this. Going off a plane in a random way. So, wait, Thor is a woman in this universe.
I was like, wait, did I go into some kind of time portal or something? And you're like, you know?
Natalie Portman, okay, makes sense.
Somehow. I was just like, and then I had just seen a spoiler recap of a movie about time things, and I was just like, did that just happen to me?
Oh my God, that was amazing. Okay, so... Anyway. Beetlejuice. We probably said his name 3 times by now. By the way, only about 18 minutes of screen time, and he comes about 25 minutes or more into the movie, so it's done very well, I think, in that aspect, because yeah. By the end, you kind of feel like he is a big part of it.
Yeah. So I wrote, first of all, when they were killed, the dog did them in. The dog scared them and made them hit over the bridge, and then the dog was like, it was like a comedy thing. The dog was standing, balancing their car, and the dog jumped off of this plank, which made them plummet into, which seemed to be a very small plummet, and which didn't think that they would get killed. However,
that's what I was going to ask you, because they could, it didn't go fast, and I feel like unless they were knocked out, they could have taken the seatbelts off. They don't tell you until then, but yeah, the dog is adorable.
I just put the dog did him in, and then I, of course, ragged on Jane. The other thing I said was, always have loved the handbook for the recently deceased.
I love that as well, but I had a question for you. How is it that Lydia and everyone, like, how can other people who are not deceased pick it up and touch it?
Well, I read through that handbook for the recently deceased. It says, live people ignore the strange and unusual.
It's one of those continuity things, I guess. So the handbook for the recently deceased was presented on the table. They didn't even. This is what kind of gets me. Apparently, life and death is about the same thing. Nobody explains anything to you. You have to go through things. You have to suffer. And people will just throw something at you. It's like starting a new job. Like, I remember starting a new job and the manager just threw the keys at me and said, good luck, and walked away.
Oh my God, that is another story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing with the crazy.
Radical ones, make me remember for David to tell that story.
With the Gina G songs and
yeah, stuff. I gotta put the song in everything. It's a whole thing.
So anyway, so you have this handbook for the recently deceased, which reads like IKEA instructions, furniture instructions, and they don't get it. And honestly, I would probably not read it myself, because one, they were still reeling from the fact that they were dead. They said they were cold. They put their hand towards a fire, which was already lit in their house,
and
their
hand went up. Which I would have said, what happened here, Adam?
You come to coming to this realization, and then there's a part when they try to leave the house at some point, and they realize that they're the sandworm. It's like the desert of time or whatever. And she goes, is this heaven? And I said, I wrote, there wouldn't be dust on everything, but that's just me.
That's the truth. You probably haven't even read the book.
You don't have an appointment, do you?
Well, we didn't know how to make one.
Appointment for what?
What do you want?
We need some help.
Already? You just bit the big one 2 months ago and you want help.
2 months? What does that have to do with anything?
You're going
to
use up all your health vouchers. D-90s. You spend 125 years on Earth, actually in that house, during which you get only 3 Class 1 D-90 intercessions with Juno. You probably haven't even read through the manual completely yet. You'll have to wait if you don't have an appointment.
An appointment with who?
For Juno, your caseworker. Number 15.
54,601.
The whole Netherworld waiting room is a huge part, right? I'm sure you have.
It's the MVD or the DMV, depending on where you live. Mostly people in the United States, it's called the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle. It's basically going into a Social Security office here in the States, or a motor vehicle department, or any place that you have to deal with a government that does ridiculous things that you have like to wait forever to get anything done for, like an answer, yes or no question. You have to wait online for like 3 hours. So basically, this is the, they read in the book that if you need help, you can draw a door and knock on it 3 times. So they go through the door, they meet their caseworker, Juno. Juno, your caseworker. And then you go, then they have this thing like, and she's like, this is what happens when you die. And the woman who's working at the counter is like, this is what happens when he dies. This is what happens when she dies. This is what happened when I died. And apparently she committed suicide. She said, if I'd known, I wouldn't have had my little accident. And then she holds up her wrist and everyone laughs. But you see people as they, what happened to them piles, goes over to the afterlife.
This is what happens when you die. That is what happens when he dies. And that is what happens when they die. It's all very personal. And I'll tell you something. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have had my little accident.
Meeting party of two. Take the handbook and go to the sixth door.
So I had a question for you about this.
Which is horrifying, by the way, if you're run over.
Well, how did the Dietzes, I mean, how did Barbara
Maitlands?
And Abby die?
Maitlands?
How did they die that they will have preserved and perfect?
They should be wet, right? And drippy.
Or blue or whatever.
Or did they suffocate?
Or maybe they snapped their necks. I don't know. Anyway, but I wonder, this is my question to you. Do you think the people in the Netherworld were the reason why they're there? One is because they something horrible happened to them, or they were terrible people and this thing happened to them. Because it's almost like that Adam and Barbara did not belong, even though they had a caseworker, Juno.
Could it be that these people are the ones that... Because didn't she say you have 119 years to haunt or something? So maybe these people are full time, and then when you fully cross over. But I like to think it's what you're saying, David, that they're just sweeter and they're very kind and they didn't belong in
this. Well, my thing is when we inevitably all pass away, not to sound grim, but if you believe in a hereafter in any way, I personally do. I don't want to be seen as roadkill on the side of the road. I want to be seen like when I was like 28 or 32 or, you know, young and...
Well, amen. By the way, the character work is fantastic. Like, that is the highlight, that scene of all, like, the huntsman with the shrunken head guy that I always loved. So why is it that you have to work when you're dead?
Because I think she has to work because she committed suicide, and that's her punishment.
So these are the... Okay, so these are, like, the... Like you said, these are...
suicide in this world, I think you become a civil servant to the dead.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's kind of the vibe I always got. But our religion, we were raised to believe that if you committed suicide, that you were damned in some way, which I don't necessarily believe, but I'm not putting it out there. We're not plugging any religion or any politics or anything here, but could see where that in my mind as a younger person would have come from.
And what about the man on the roadkill guy? Like, why does he have to work? And those skeletons. Why does anyone have to work when they're dead?
They got you coming and they got you going.
Evidently, but Juno, that character is fantastic. She's got like only a few appearances, but she is just like a highlight of the movie with the cigarette and the smoke that comes out of her throat.
How long do you suppose we were waiting there?
3 months. I'd almost given up on you. I was about to leave. I do have other clients.
Are you Juno, our caseworker?
Yes, I evaluate individual cases and determine if help is needed, deserved, and available.
Are you available?
No. What's wrong?
We're very unhappy.
What did you expect? You're dead.
We want to get rid of the people who have moved in here. Barbara and I worked very hard on this house.
We probably wouldn't mind sharing the house with people who were...
more like you used to be.
Yes.
But these people...
Things seem pretty quiet here. You should thank God you didn't die in Italy. The Dietzes. Okay, have you been studying the manual?
Well, we tried.
The intermediate interface chapter on haunting says it all. Get them out yourselves. It's your house. Haunted houses aren't easy to come by.
Well, we don't quite get it.
I heard tore your faces right off. It obviously doesn't do any good to pull your heads off in front of people if they can't see you.
We should start more simply, is that?
Start simply. Do what you know. Use your talents. Practice. You should have been studying those lessons since day one. Oh, I've got to go.
What about that guy in the flyer, you know, Beetle?
Shh. Don't even say his name. You don't want his help.
Well,
we might.
No, you don't. He does not work well with others.
What do you mean?
I didn't want to bring it up. But rather than have you stumble onto it and make another mistake, I'll tell you. He was my assistant. But he was a troublemaker. He went out on his own as a freelance bioexorcist. Claimed he could get rid of the living. Got into more trouble. In fact, I believe he's been sleazing around your cemetery lately. The only way he can be brought back is by calling his name three times. But I strongly suggest that you remove the Dietzes yourselves.
Well, how do we contact you if we need you again?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So they go to see their caseworker. They have like a number of 1,000,000,000,000,000, whatever it is. They finally see her. She takes them back to their house, which they don't even recognize, because in the meantime, I call him a really nasty name, but an H-O, I can't even say it. He's a Mo Biatch. Because I can't, I mean, I like his character, but he's kind of mean-spirited.
He's a sassy, down-air sassy, just a biatch.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to bring up, Juno takes them back, basically. They say they're not happy with their afterlife because the people, and she says your ghost basically haunt them. Well, use your talents, haunt them, whatever. So I wanted to add something, because when they're going through the house, Dahlia is going through the house with Otho. She's spray painting all the walls. She's like taking it down. She goes, look, an indoor outhouse. Then she says, deliver me from L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
And you see the father's like, can we not do anything with this room, this study? He's coming up to Connecticut to enjoy the wildlife, to be out of the city. So I thought that was really funny.
What is that other thing, that famous quote that you love, that when she's telling the husband with Ortho?
Oh,
like,
my God. I can't even say it because I'm going to get hysterical. So just say it, because I'll just start pissing. I can't even get it out. I'm going to start coughing.
I don't know a quote, but it's
if you do not let me be creative, I will go crazy and I will take you with me. Like that kind of a thing.
Oh, honey, this is not working out at all.
Charles, I will not stop living and breathing art just because you need to relax.
Ha.
I'm here with you. I will live with you in this hellhole, but I must express myself. If you don't let me gut out this house and make it my own, I will go insane and I will take you with me!
Oh my God, I can't even do it justice. Am I
crazy?
I love her.
This is the first time, I can't tell you how many time radical ones I've seen this movie over the years. I got the idea that Lydia might be, that's not her stepdaughter, right? Did they mention that?
I don't know.
I almost got this time that she really wanted nothing to do with Charles. Like in the cartoon, they made them all really like more lovable, like a family and everything like that. This one is like, she really can't stand Charles, I don't think. She just wants to be with, in her fashion, high end, I'm an artist with my sassy Ortho.
Not Ortho. That's the one with that's the one that killed bugs and weed killer that they're suing now. It's Otho, not Ortho.
Orthopedics. Okay. Ortho.
So they come up with a plan. They said that they can't be seen, so they use sheets, and they're going around going ooh, oh, ooh, oh. And Lydia gets a hold
I love that.
Of this. And she starts taking a Polaroids of them, and the pictures are flashing, and she's like, and she's finally picking them up. She's like, she thinks they're having some kind of kinky sex thing. Like they're wailing, and she's like, what is going on? She goes, if you're going to do that stuff, you need to do it in your bedroom, basically.
Cut it out! A child, for God's sakes.
And then she realizes they're floating. Then she comes to the realization that they are ghosts. And then she's curious. She's like, are you Night of the Living Dead under
there? I love that. Under the sheets. Yep.
What do you look like under there?
Aren't you scared?
I'm not scared of sheets. Are you gross under there? Are you Night of the Living Dead under there? Like all bloody veins and pus?
Night of the what?
Living Dead. It's a movie.
You know, if I had seen a ghost at your age, I would have been scared out of my wits.
You're not gross. Why are you wearing sheets?
And then she realizes that she can see them. And that's where the kind of the quote about I myself am strange and unusual comes from.
You know, Winona Ryder played this fantastically.
She likes the ghost. She finds it intriguing because she likes death. I think that she's almost romanticizes it. She's like God, sort of. And like dark is black what I wear on the outside because black is how I feel on the inside. She basically tells them they never walk away from equity or something like never walk away from equity. So you better come up with another act besides cutting holes in expensive $500 sheets.
At one point, Delia's in the kitchen trying to toss a salad, and she has like this red top on with these pants. Get this. The pants are made out of Charles's sweater from earlier, and she just turned them upside down. Okay. Like, that's one of her outfits that she made. Like, so that's why and the glove earlier is just fantastic, too. But I don't know if she was making the salad is that the first dinner with the shrimp, which, by the way, is terrifying. But I could tell you from 5 miles away that those are the biggest shrimp, or those were going to be shrimp fingers. Like, that was going to be a creature.
I'm actually extremely, extremely, extremely off the charts allergic to shrimp, but I've eaten it my whole life.
So this is funny because I found out years ago that I was allergic to shrimp, and it must run in the family. And yeah, I was eating it up until then too.
Lobster people at Red Lobster, baby.
The last time I had shrimp, honestly, was a few years ago at this point before I knew, and I made Beverly Goldberg's shrimp parmesan for a premiere of the Goldbergs one day, season premiere. I'll never be the same again. That night was a night of horror, but not because of Beverly Goldberg's recipe. It was because I evidently was gotten to the height of my shrimp allergy.
Well, say no more. Say no more.
So, yeah, but Beetlejuice. Oh, there we go. There's the third. He's here.
Me! The snake.
No! What snake, you kids, in your imagination? Just say it!
So in the meantime, Beetlejuice is basically senses that they are really unhappy, and he touts himself as being is a bioexorcist. He can scare people out of your dwelling. That's like, that's his ticket, but you need to say his name 3 times. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Great. Although set, by the way.
Beetlegeist, why the thing said Beetlegeist, Beetlegeist, Beetlegeist.
I knew this at one point and I totally forgot why, but yeah, and it's supposed to be evidently separate, but the DVDs and the VHS tapes and someone on IMDb put it as one word. So it is supposed to be Beetlejuice, but the spelling, I don't know that. I always thought it was almost like Beetlegeist was his real last name, because isn't that on the coffin? Which, yeah, by the way, that scene and the ambiance, as I love to say, the finger pointing, like the light coming down into the tomb and things like that. I just love that whole scene. I love the fly coming up for the, what was it?
Help me!
Zagnut candy bar for the
And he must eat the fly. This is a point where they're thinking about it, because he actually possesses their TV to say that he'll possess himself. He'll do anything to get your business. He'll do this. He'll do that.
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now what do you think?
You think I'm qualified?
At some point, because they're getting frustrated,
because they're trying to scare the family, and they're either not believing it, and then after they do the finger thing, they try the finger thing, but it doesn't work?
But no, they already knew there was paranormal activity going on. That's different. I believe contact Beetlejuice, and then he immediately, well, first of all, they go down to this model. So the husband created a whole model of the town, which Charles really likes. It's lit up, it's beautiful, they really like it.
It's in the attic,
and Beetlejuice is kind of hanging around the cemetery and whatever in there, in this model of the town. They end up calling Beetle, doing it because they're just tired of it.
And Juno says not to get involved with him.
Yeah, I'm at a loss, Ryan. I don't know which two comes, one comes before, because there's a point where they call Beetlejuice, but they don't like what he's done.
When is, and they, she says it really quickly three times, and then she gets out of the graveyard, right? They get told,
she says, home.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like that she's down there in the,
and
in
she's
the
talking about Lydia,
and he's, and she's saying, I don't want to expose that child to that pervert.
He is, honestly, he's a pervert. He's a dead sexual predator, dare I say.
So basically at that point, then they decide to come up with this funny plot. The Dietzes have contacted some well-to-do Delia's agent and somebody that works, or somebody he, Charles has worked for, or whatever. Like, they're very rich people. They're into the paranormal.
Yes.
Otho, in the meantime, finds the book of the...
That's what I don't understand. They should not be able to see that book. And who is that? Speaking of Otho, as I called him.
I know just as much about the supernatural as I do about interior design.
Or whatever. No, wait, it is Otho?
It's Otho.
Otho. Who was the braided girl to him?
I don't know, but they seem to not
hate each other. Like, they used to date, and she found out he was gay or something, and he was dating her or something. Because doesn't she say, like, something like, oh, that's more your time? I don't know. She says something, like, sassy about that.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
Don't mind her. She's still upset because somebody dropped a house on her sister.
Braided girl, I'm calling her. Braided woman.
Braided woman. Wait on me. Braided woman.
So while we're in that scene, by the way, for a PG movie, Beetlejuice says, nice effing models, to Adam.
Over a tree.
I remember actively watching this movie continuously as a kid. So
listen, I sometimes notice it, like when I'm listening, if I put on the radio or like satellite radio and something, and I don't realize that they put on all the graphic stuff, even stuff that's like, that's too much.
I looked over to my left.
They don't necessarily catch everything. So, but yeah, it's not something you want to necessarily have around them all the time, but
PG, you would never. This had to have happened before something, because he said nice effing model.
So they decide that Beetlejuice is too perverted and unsafe to be around Lydia, so they decide they're going to use their talents, because remember that Juno, their caseworker, told them to use their talents. You want the detail, get them out yourself.
Yeah. And she wanted to see what they had, and Adam stretches the face, and Barbara, what does she
But then
do?
Lydia sees them, she gets scared, and then Barbara puts her face back. She's like, it's just us, Lydia, and don't worry.
She doesn't want to hurt this girl. Their heart has gone out for her, because they see that she's hurting, they see that her family, well, the father's probably nice, but...
Oh, so, okay, this is where we messed up. Not really. You got it right. So there's a scene, which is probably one of the most famous scenes of the movie, where the Dietzes and their friends and Otho are all...
And Braid Girl.
possessed by Barbara and Adam, and they do it to...
Harry Belafonte, right?
Yeah, Harry Belafonte. Deo, deo, daylight.
Two songs from him.
You wanna go home?
Live 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, punch!
So they do that, and they're dancing, and they're forcing them to dance around the table, and all these funny things, and gyrating, and they're forcing them to, like, doing like an 80s twerk. They have their butts shaking and facing the table and shaking their, you know, goodies.
My goodies, my goodies, my goodies, not my goodies.
They really are twerking before twerking.
And then there's a part where there are very large shrimps that
they are horrifying. They're disgusting looking. Who is going to eat those shrimps?
And then all of a sudden they get thrown. The shrimps come out like shrimp hands and grab them by the faces and then throw them back. And then you hear like almost like a little gremlin laughing at the end.
It could have been more horrifying. It could have been the wedding dress scene, but this would have gotten me enough. The hand that came out, no.
So then the Dietz's mess, they basically, Beetlejuice is laughing about them, and he goes, now it's my turn, right?
The snake, yes.
And that's when he turns the banister into a snake. He does some, he's like trying to go near Lydia, and then Gina Davis does the Beetlejuice to bring him, get him back to where he should be.
And by the way, the score of this movie, the whole thing, I mean, the Danny Elfman theme that is iconic, it's another Halloween staple. You'll hear that around Halloween time, which, you know, we love around here. I just have to throw this random fact to you. You'll never believe this. Maybe you will. Tim wanted Sammy Davis Jr. as Beetlejuice.
Really?
And I looked this up. Two different places said this. And then the studio recommended Michael Keaton. Thankfully, nothing against Sammy Davis Jr., but I can't even... Hey, babe. Say my name.
I love Sammy Davis Jr., but I don't see him as Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, of all things? I mean, he would have been charming, but...
The funny part is, is recently there has been some pushback on Tim Burton because he is very stuck in...
Oh, yeah.
Like casting. And his thing was, I just like really pale people.
Is that what he said?
Basically, that's why he does it. He said he only like because they look dead. Like he wants them to all look melancholy and sick. So he's thinking the whiter, the more sickly looking you are, the better for my movie. It's like Sweeney Todd and like.
Well, honestly, he does have that look. Even in that, what's that, Corpse's Bride that you like? That one, right? He likes the gaunt, white death. Perfect for me, David. I'm pale and the dark circles. I should ask Tim. I should ask Tim to cast me in Beetlejuice 2. Maybe we'll get some help on this.
We could be podcasting and Beetlejuice can come up and
sexually assault us. But this started Michael Keaton and Tim Burton's Batman Returns. And Michael Keaton does love the role, so I think he really brings a lot of, again, for, what did I say? 18 minutes of screen time about, I'm not just going to say it's Beetlejuice alone. It, of course, people really gravitated towards Lydia, too. I mean, Lydia is an icon for people. And then there's the chemistry of Gina Davis and, you know, what's his name? Alec Baldwin. So, I mean, it's a fun movie. What did I write?
The scene where Otho has obviously been reading the handbook for the deceased.
Oh, yeah.
And you also find out that Lydia at some point has read it and she can understand it. So Otho, they apparently had that at some point, especially in the very beginning when the Dietzes were going into the house, they had seen that they had their wedding clothing, wedding dress, and plastic.
And they made fun of it, of course.
Oh, Ozzy and Harriet. Otho gets that out to conjure them because they don't want to come down.
This is the scary part, y'all.
So did I mess that up with the Beetlejuice thing? You see,
No, because he does do this. Doesn't he do the sandworm thing again?
It's early in, very early in the morning at a very bizarre time, and I'm very tired and not feeling well, but...
And Otho ain't cutting it.
Otho.
There's a mix of it. There's a mix of it because he does the big attack at the end, too. They're floating in the air, and they're horrifying. They're shriveling up, and they're holding hands. And then the ring falls off.
And Lydia, Beetlejuice basically makes a deal with her that he needs to get married in order to basically be freed from his confines of having to say his name. And she says, and she wants to save her friends.
I think she's 15 too, by the way.
She says his name three times and he comes out. And then he starts this very whimsical thing. First of all, you know that, having watched the movie, that the Dietz's Charles is selling this as they want to do like an institute for the paranormal, make a rot, like a Disneyland of some kind there or something.
I guess that's what he does in Hawaii after this. That's what happens in the.
Well, there's some funny parts where the investor or whatever the guy that Charles is talking to, then you see Delia's manager's like, I've been losing money on your stuff for years. You're horrible, basically. I'm getting a cut of this because they're all sold on this. They were possessed. They did the musical number. They saw some scary stuff. So Beetlejuice basically becomes like a carousel.
With bat ears, by the way, 2 years before the Batman and Batman Returns. And he becomes like this thing with big arms and he spins around. And then he puts Lydia in this bride's outfit. It becomes that Lydia's iconic red dress. And then in the cartoon, of course, they had her with a similar red. I would call it more of a red poncho, though, in the cartoon.
But then it turns into a spiderweb poncho.
Yep, sort of. Yeah.
He does help the Dietzes. I mean, he does help Adam Barber, the Maitlands.
Maitlands, yep.
And they start to regenerate. And then you get the part where they're trying to say his name three times to get rid of him. So the first thing that happens is Adam says, right, Beetlejuice, and his jaw falls off and Beetlejuice is trying to stomp on it and kick it. Then you have Gina Davis's character, Barbara, who says Beetlejuice once, and Beetlejuice does something to her and puts a zipper on her mouth. She says it again, and then he like gets really pissed off and he basically welds her mouth shut with like rivets and a piece of metal.
Which is horrifying.
And then he traps Lydia. The wall opens up to a very large, angular arch sort of a thing off to the side. Yes,
very angular.
Some sort of preacher there that's like a big head and a little body. And then he grabs Lydia, he grabs the parents, and basically is like trying to stop, you know, get married. Lydia tries to say Beetlejuice, but then he covers her mouth with his gross hand, and she's like, and he's mouthing what she's supposed to be saying. I love that man.
In her voice, yep.
Amazing. I want to marry him.
It says, so Ortho unwillingly performs an exorcism instead of, because he wanted to conjure them originally. And then the Dietzes and the Maitlands agree to live in harmony within the house. Beetlejuice is stuck in the afterlife waiting room. He stole a number ticket from the witch doctor who shrinks his head, which also, by the way, was added after test screenings. They said wanted a little more Beetlejuice because he was in a little.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. He said, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah.
Ching, chang, wada, wada, bing, bang.
Are you a ghost too?
I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
Okay, so I would describe this as a strange, fun, scary, offbeat, but really amazing film. It's a highlight, honestly. I always do like to catch it, especially around Halloween, because you know it's going to be on ABC, Fox, Family, whatever, Freeform, whatever it's called now, Family, 31 Days of Halloween.
Oh, yes. Freeform for me, because I had to rent it to buy it. Meanwhile, I have it on DVD, but my DVDs are buried.
Oh, well, now my DVDs are now at David's, too. Speak of the devil.
Just remember, every Thursday will be a new episode. It came from David's house, starring me, David, everyone's favorite brother. Forget Ryan. I just have to learn how to do all of the podcasting, the Zencaster or whatever we use to film, record, and edit. I have to learn all of those, and then it'll just be me.
And then you could just open a box. Like, today's box is, we don't know.
Oh my God, don't show that on camera. Ryan, why did you send that to me? That should have been marked.
Well, there, look, we got big plans in the new year to come. So I'm so glad we were able to communicate with Rob and bring him here. We have summoned him. Rob, this is the 35th anniversary Beetlejuice celebration that we were doing for this week. I know that Tim Burton movies, as well as Beetlejuice, is one of those films that you really love.
Yeah, this movie definitely is a milestone for me. This was the first movie that I ever recorded on a VHS tape. It was the, what were the letters? Wasn't it SP, LP, and EP or something?
Extended play. Yeah, long play.
Long play. So the SP, I believe, was the shortest, or I guess you could say the longest, because it covered a 2-hour VHS tape with just one movie. That's what I did. And then I discovered EP and I was like, okay, I'm going to record a lot. But yeah, Beetlejuice was the first movie I ever recorded on VHS. And I made that quite the hobby when I was a teen. And then when I had my first podcast, a movie podcast, that was the first movie I reviewed. So yes, I have a history with this. This is a very good movie that introduced me to my love of supernatural, love of horror, and love of Tim Burton. So like all of it, like this movie is definitely something that is perfection for me. And I definitely rewatched it and reviewed it and gave it a full 5. Like this movie has not lost a beat. And I did hear the Roger and Ebert Roger and Ebert, Jesus. I did hear the Siskel and Ebert review, and you know, they just have a certain way of looking at film different than mine, and I'm sorry, this movie gave me everything. What I noticed big in this rewatch was that there was such a short amount of time that the literal character of Beetlejuice actually right. showed up. He did yes. not show up until the end, and so the movie has this sort of tone about the contrast between ghosts and living humans and how they cohabitate. And then you throw in all this supernatural goofiness and it's just a completely different movie. So I do see that. However, love it. That's what I was waiting for. Bring it on. Keep bringing all that stuff. But it does do a shift. And I guess it just really depends on the type of, movie watcher and the type of movie that they want.
I'm so glad you brought them up, Rob, because hearing that review, did you notice they kept referring it to as the Ghostbusters? Like, it has nothing to do with, they kept comparing it to Ghostbusters, and I'm like, I guess it was one of those movies that was so creative that it just, didn't strike, but they never like anything.
So I will say this, shout out to Danny Elfman for a fantastic soundtrack score. I think he is genius. I still to this day listen to his music as well as the soundtrack on my phone when I'm commuting. I fell in love with his work immediately afterwards, and slowly just like Danny Elfman is just my favorite, composer. But it all started from this movie. Also, Tim Burton on creating such a wonderful character out of thin air. This is not based on anything. This is out of his like crazy mind of his. And the name, we don't even know its origin. Like, I tried to look it up. There's nothing that suggests why he's called this at all. And I just love the creativity. And was that his name when he was alive? Things like that. What kind of human was he versus him being a ghost right now? Was he just that wacky? There was this taxi driver sort of motif outfit he was wearing. I don't know if he was a driver before.
Yes. That's a great point, Rob, because that did stand out. And that's, they even made like an action figure of that look. So I wonder if that is a callback to his life.
But this is where it all started, honestly. And I owned a t-shirt from Hot Topic. And this t-shirt was basically the book cover of the handbook of the recently deceased. So it was just that same color shirt from the book, and then it just had the logo up front. So I had that, and I did watch the cartoon, but I did not watch it fully, and I don't even really have much memory of it either. If I watched it right now, it would be a total mind blown. But I think that's pretty much it. I never played the video game. Sometimes I'll dress like Adam at work. I have the khakis and the black and white checkered shirt all ready to go, so sometimes I'll look like him at the end of the day.
Is there a specific side character besides the main, the core of the couple, Beetlejuice, Lydia?
I have a few words about Jane. I really want
Butterfield
to inside her head and figure out what is going on with her. She was such a menace in the beginning, and it just annoyed me. Was she related to Barbara?
I don't think so. She was just terrible.
I mean, it just feels like she was renting the house from them. She was renting the house from Barbara. But I thought that they were related. She just knew too much about them. And to be so forward about like, this house should be for a family, not for just a couple. Like, that just, I know she's trying to upsell and whatnot. They were probably going to be there till they died. But I just, how she was trying to sell this house just that doesn't want to be sold. I just think it's wild. But I think she arranged for the two of them to be killed. I'm just going to say, I think she planted that dog, and she did exactly like, I have other movies that I can reference this where they use pets to try and get people to go off the road. I think this was totally planned. Also, the timing of when she was talking to Barbara and then she immediately just shows up at the basement, because you could already see her silhouette. And then it looks like that Barbara is like walking away after shutting the door. I'm like, how did you get to this spot so quickly? But that's just a whatever. It seems like they were hinting that Barbara couldn't have children. I believe David mentioned that. So I'm kind of on the same boat. They said they wanted to try again. So maybe they just haven't really made the official step to have kids, or maybe there's been some kind of mental block to where they felt like it wasn't the right time. But she had this look on her face like she's tried and maybe miscarried or something like that. So that's kind of the vibe that I got. But I immediately thought that this was murder watching it again. And here's the thing. I looked online and someone actually had the same thought process as me. There's a full video of why they think that Jane targeted and broke their brake line to the car.
Oh,
because like when they swerve, like that's a natural reaction. But what stopped them from using the brake? Nothing stopped them. But here's the thing. The video also talked about throughout the entire time that they were visiting his store and coming back, they had to have stopped at some point. Maybe if you push on the brake with just a little bit of pressure, it doesn't necessarily break to the point of the bridge where you really needed it and then it just broke. I don't know, but that was sort of their theory. But I think she totally set up that entire thing. And watching it now, I don't know why they didn't try to escape. The windows was open. Every opportunity for one of them to live. I don't know if something was like lodged, like I don't know if her arm was just locked, because she mentioned that particularly her arm was frozen. So I don't know if it was lodged under something and she couldn't leave and Adam wasn't going to leave her. Head trauma, whatever the case may be. I'm not sure.
Explains it, because one of my questions was going to be to you, how do you think they died? Whose dog is that?
I mean, to answer your question, I think a lot of the side characters are great. For me, it was just more of just really watching the dynamic of these two different types of families just meshing together. I find it really interesting watching the compatibility that is Adam and Barbara. They clearly have just this, I don't want to say one note, but just a very perfect note relationship where they just seem to mesh well on a lot of things. They have a lot of, they agree on, and they have like similar interests and hobbies, and they encourage one of the other. Like they both just like having staycations and they don't really travel that much, and they like their very old school motif of how they design their house, and
old school. Yes, yeah,
they support their hobbies, they're each other's hobbies, and you know, they own a store together. Like they love just being with one another, and I love that. And then we get this other couple, which is Delia and Charles. I find so interesting when you're watching a couple that sort of is intertwined and they kind of like got it together versus another couple who are so different from each other, but still manage to spend their life together.
Right.
Which couple would most people thrive to be? More of the agree on everything or like date someone opposite of you, or because they are opposites, are they truly in love, or are they in it for like other reasons? So like, do you want to be with somebody who's exactly like you and just agrees on everything and everything just meshes well? Or do you like the contrast and like the challenge or the fun of just dating somebody different than you?
I think a little bit of both, actually. I mean, that sounds like a cop-out.
It is a cop-out, Ryan.
You want to be able to agree on like, I would say basic thing for the majority. Like no one wants to be like the whole entire time, unless you're one of that relationships where you have like wisecracky, like continuous to each other. But I wouldn't want what Delia and Charles has either, because that's horrifying, I think.
Horrifying. Okay. So, I mean, for me, while Adam and Barbara are like, I don't know if they're relationship goals. I think it's fascinating that they found each other because they seem to be alike a lot. But to me, I would find their relationship just a little bit too stale because nobody is bringing anything new to the table. Like they're just so content. And I, for one, would just like more of like something that's not in my world. Like I need a little bit of a mix.
A simple life? I mean, that sounds,
I guess,
cliche,
so.
But like a simpler life is what they strove for.
But here's the thing about Delia and Charles, because I heard you guys talking about them and you seem to have this sort of thing against Delia as if she's like a villain or using Charles. I don't know. You didn't really get into it, but there was a tone with you that suggested that Delia is like,
yeah,
using him for money. I don't know what it is. I honestly I watched Delia and I thought that Catherine O'Hara's character was really doing the best that she could coming into a family that lost a mom. She never talked down to Lydia. She never was like, you need to go to boarding school or get out of my face and he's my
That's
husband.
True.
She,
that cliche.
She has always tried to include Lydia. Lydia is the one that does not like her. And while you have Charles, who is just more relaxed, more calm and just chill, that is on him for choosing to marry a woman who is as eccentric as Delia. Now, Charles can give the face and be all angry at her, but nothing is stopping him from leaving her. She is literally like a city girl. She's into arts. She's a little bit waspy. And she married a man who really isn't a part of that world. He definitely is a businessman. But like, she always was standing by him, backed him up when Max came to dinner, and all, you know, when her agent came and everything, like, she was always like, oh, Charles, like, my husband's handling business. He's getting shit together.
I always took that as her, like, you know, just wanting the money. But now you're making me see a whole other side of her.
Delia always included Lydia at dinner. And she, you know, may be firm in what she's doing, but she's never been like wicked stepmother to me. She's always tried
Thank
to.
God, yeah.
She was like, I came to this podunk town and left my city and my life to live with you, and let me just do whatever I want to this freaking house. Can we compromise? She literally upright left. Like, come on. Like, we should not be attacking Delia. She did not do anything wrong. That is on Lydia and Charles. Yeah, they need to leave her alone. So for me, that's the only thing I just kind of want to like. But I thought that Juno was a very interesting character. I would love to see her origin. And it was also great to hear some of the rules of afterlife. The fact that when you die, you are sentenced to your home for however many years. It varies. And it seemed that Adam and Barbara had to go through 125 years in the house before actually moving on. And I just thought that was wild. And so you get a caseworker to help you go through that. But how shitty is this? This is what I wrote. I said, you can tell that the underworld or the afterlife is American made because the healthcare system with ghosts is that you are trapped in your house for 125 years and you only get 3 meetings with Juno. That is the US of A, okay?
And they only use one on what day? Was it what year was it?
They didn't waste any time. They got like month 3 or something.
Month 3!
Or something like that. God.
They better be holding on.
The netherworld is literally on American soil. Like, there's just no way. And I know you noticed the janitor was the same guy at the bar on
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That is a great yes.
Who brought
great
up Large
callback.
Marge. Yes. Yes. Love that. The other thing, though, I brought up Juno and I was just like, you don't want them calling Beetlejuice, but let me tell you how to get him. If you say his name 3 times, he will come in and get you. But I don't want you doing it. I strongly suggest you don't use it. Why tell him how to summon him? He wouldn't have never been a problem. Which also brings me to another sort of like conspiracy theory that I have. Adam and Barbara, yes, they are ghosts. They definitely have their way of living. They look at Charles and Delia and Lydia as this yuppie city folk that they just do not mesh well with, right? Now, I get it. Like, they're different. We look to them as the protagonists. But here's the thing. Who summoned Beetlejuice in the first place, right? Like honestly, like, you...
True.
Like, I get that you can't move out, but who are you to kick these people out of this house? And like, you let him out the minute you met him, you were like immediately rejecting this and like, ooh, bad idea. And then all of a sudden you're like pissed off that he's causing havoc around them. Like, you did this to them. And all of a sudden now it's like, ooh, we have a daughter and we don't have to like have sex to do it. So, you know, let's just adopt her pseudo-ly. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not saying that they're the real villains, but let's get something straight. Like, you're the one that messed around with this family. What did you expect them to do?
It's true at that point. Yeah, that's true. They could have, unfortunately, they could have just dealt with it like they kind of do in the end, I guess. Like, we see that, you know, Lydia comes home from school and all that jazz.
I do love the sort of the tie-in that you guys picked up as well. I noticed the same thing was that, you know, the theme of things is that Adam and Barbara lacked sort of an additional person in the house, a family. And with this new family coming in, this unconventional new normal is what people call it, is what developed, and that everybody was cohabitating and was able to, you know, exist in each other's worlds. And the other thing is that Charles at the end, I found this to be fascinating. Like, he was reading a book about how to live with the dead.
Yeah.
And then he also listens to music and was like, oh, the ghost must be playing around with her and we understand the deal and blah, blah, blah. So, like, there seemed to be a really wonderful unity that I think developed. And it's a theme that I honestly never picked up until now. I like that this sort of became full circle when all of them, all they wanted to do was just be a family. And then, you know, she's sculpting Beetlejuice. Like, they all seem to have worked it out. So, I mean, it just kind of shows you a way of how different people from different backgrounds can live together in harmony a little bit. I don't think Tim Burton was that cheesy about it, but it's just something that I noticed with the ending is that they were all, you know, the models out in the living room, it's no longer in the attic. Like, they're really sharing the space. And so I thought that was great.
And Rob, do you have any Rob's recommendations for this movie?
Rob's recommendations.
Okay, so for my recommendations, if you like this film, I would suggest watching some of Tim Burton's older stuff around the same time that Beetlejuice came out. As his career went forward, he started doing more sort of remakes, adaptations, and stuff for his kids to watch. For me, I prefer some of the older stuff, and that includes his directorial debut of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I think it is just as kooky as Beetlejuice, as well as Edward Scissorhands. And this is also with the Winona Ryder tie-in that I think, and which is great. Ooh, question for you. Diane Weiss or Catherine O'Hara?
Catherine?
Delia does, like, she's the epic mom. For sure, but Diane Weiss is just so my heart. That woman just adopted this grown-ass man from this dark castle.
That was beautiful.
I love
that. That actually is true.
Yeah. My last recommendation, if you did like this movie, I want you to watch this just so you can get the versatility of Michael Keaton and his acting ability. And this is Multiplicity, where he is a husband who is really trying to hold it together, doing everything under the sun, and he gets an opportunity to clone himself so he can actually take a break from his life that is just 24/7 and allow the clone to do a lot of the heavy lifting. But he gets a little greedy and more clones are created. Therefore, you see multiple personalities and different variations of himself, and Michael Keaton does it all. So you can even hear the Beetlejuice voice in one of his clones. I think this movie is a nice, solid 90s comedy that everyone should watch if you're a Michael Keaton fan. So definitely check out Multiplicity. Now, if you did not like Beetlejuice, this is not your thing, they had certain elements, you love the cast, maybe, but all of it put together just did not work for you. So, on the subject of Beetlejuice, which kind of falls into the Bloody Mary thing, urban legend, you know, ghosts coming back when you say his name. Where am I going with this? Candyman. Candyman is a great film. It is rated R versus PG-13. It is horror versus horror comedy. I mean, it is the complete opposite of Beetlejuice while still keeping the outline of the film, which is say my name and I will come. Candyman, definitely recommend that. This is Clive Barker. The other recommendation that I have is an action film. It's a little bit more on the funnier side as well, but Gina Davis, like you've never seen her before. If you want her taking doing the complete opposite from Homemaker, have her be a bloodthirsty assassin with amnesia. I'm talking about The Long Kiss Goodnight, also starring Samuel Jackson. This is a solid action film, and Gina Davis shines. A movie that I do need to watch that I've never seen before is Cutthroat Island. I've never seen that, and I need to watch that.
That was a movie. I mean, I did only see it as a kid, so that's true. I don't know.
I heard she's quite the action star in that, too. But Long Kiss Goodnight, wonderful, wonderful film. Watch that for Gina Davis if you didn't dig how she was acting in this movie. Another one that sort of goes into the ghosts sort of like theme is Poltergeist, the original. I would suggest watching that. Definitely the ghost story that you got from Beetlejuice, but just done more on the horror side and more grounded and realistic if Poltergeist and ghosts exist. So those are my recommendations from Beetlejuice.
Rob's recommendations.
David, your parting words.
Did we do this movie justice? I know that we're like both hanging on by a thread here because of the exhaustion and being sick. And in the middle, like Ryan's probably just recording sitting on a cardboard box right now because he's in the middle of moving. Yeah. Did we do it justice describing it? I'm hoping that most people have seen the movie, obviously.
Yeah.
And we have showed it respect and love because I do really love it. There's so many funny moments.
So many. Some memorable music moments.
Yeah, and I know, I guess we came off a little more serious, but I can't help it if I went into a parallel universe with Thor.
That was amazing.
All been downhill then.
When did Beetlejuice become a musical?
I would definitely look forward to seeing a reprisal for most of the characters if they
over a reboot. Yes,
I would definitely still be very open to it and not judgmental because I know that something that old has aged but at the same time, I don't find most of, like, you know how we've talked about like in other movies where things have, so there's been some offensive things that are, would be a no-go now. I don't really see anything there. And it was a fantastical sort of a movie in many ways. And for the time, it was amazing as far as like the...
The effects are fantastic. Even that like Beetlejuice snake head that looks like Michael Keaton, you know, it's like this. Just looks, I mean, it looks now, okay, maybe someone now would be like, oh, that's a puppet.
Well, I guess the other thing I would say is that there, you had touched upon that they end up basically dividing the house up and sharing it. They sort of they convert part of the house back to the way it used to be.
Sweet.
And it they just work out, and you see that they're working with Lydia, like, basically.
At school. She comes home from school, and they want her to like do her homework and stuff like that, but she wants to play with them in the sense
that
she's
almost like they got the child that they really kind of wanted. I think it ended up on a really happy note. So I'm going to say, I don't feel this movie is a horror movie, and I really don't. I think it's almost like, I mean, I guess it would have to be, but it's like a comedy slash little wisp of horror because I didn't find it that scary. I know that you, like, I did think that it was pretty...
As a kid, I would say.
Graphic at times, and I think that the sexual overtones of him marrying Lydia kind of were a little disturbing and to me a little bit, but I guess it's because I have children too, and I'm an adult now, but that's debatable.
Well, stay tuned next month when we talk about Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask and their age gap
and a love triangle with an alien male.
Yeah, that and more.
So, like I said, I hope we really did justice to it. I hope people enjoyed it. I would love to, you know, we really have to when we're in the same time zone again, and you're here with, we're definitely going to have to open this up to. We're gonna do some live stuff. It'll be a lot easier. I would love to have some of our like loyal listeners too, if they're up for it, to do even like little things, even if they don't want to do the whole podcast. It'd be a lot of fun. I don't know why I'm even saying that. You know, I'm tired, but it does come from the heart what I'm saying. I really love Beetlejuice. I would highly suggest people watching it. I think because of the fact that it's, other than the F word dropped once, I think that children these days would almost be like, it was nothing as far as like you're playing to the scary part.
Yeah.
Young, like,
oh, yeah, this
10-year-old, an 8-year-old, whatever, 8, 9, 10-year-old, I think would be totally fine with it and not even
bit of sex.
But I do like the whimsical part of it. And I definitely want Tim Burton to infuse back his you know, flavor into this. So
without Helen Bonham Carter.
You don't talk about Christian Slater Carter, Linda Carter, Bonham. What's the anchor?
She, that was another episode of the podcast. You could always reach the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. One word on Instagram. Oh, I usually do David's first. We're all messed up.
Say my name when no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you if you ain't running games. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Say, baby, I love you.
Now I just want to sing. David is Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. Also on Instagram, thank you so much for waiting for this episode. Next week is Josie and the Pussycats, the movie with Rob.
Josie and the Pussycats. What is it? Long tail and ears and hats, guitar and shorts and flats. Dun,
dun, dun, Josie dun, and the Pussycats. It ain't Gem. Know. It ain't Gem. And then we have that Sailor Moon R, the movie, The Promise of the Rose with David. Radical Ones, thank you as always for being here. Please like, comment, and subscribe if you're listening to this on YouTube. A review on your favorite platform always helps to spread the word. Thank you, Leah, for supplying us with clips and audio of the movies we use. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.